Now, when Misty Griffin was 6 years old, her family started to live and dress like the Amish. Misty and her sister were kept as slaves on a mountain ranch and subjected to almost complete isolation, sexual abuse, and extreme physical violence. This is their story, and Misty is here to tell it. Thank you so much for coming onto the show, Misty.
Hi, thank you for having me.
So, first of all, for those that don't know, can you tell us what it is to be Amish? Is Amish a religion?
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. It's a religion. It's sort of maybe more like a lifestyle. The religion itself is centered around a lot of rules, and it just becomes sort of a lifestyle rather than really a religion, because your life is pretty much governed by a list of rules that the church has made up. So there's not really a whole lot of spirituality mixed with it. It's just like, I have to follow all of these rules, and that's what you do for your whole life, pretty much.
And I believe you were told that if you weren't Amish, if you didn't follow these rules, you'd go to hell. So you must have been pretty scared as a youngster.
Yes. Amish in general, like from the time you're a small child, from the time you have your first memory, that's what you're taught, that the outside world is evil. And you've been born into the right way of living. And if you ever choose to leave that right way of living, then you will go to hell. And there's pretty much no hope for you. Sometimes I ask them, like, well, what about everybody else who stopped for an Amish? You know, or is it just the Amish that is going to heaven? And they would say, well, those people were not born into the right way to heaven, so they don't know the right way to heaven, so they're not necessarily going to hell. But because you are in the right way, if you were to ever leave that, you would 100% go to hell.
Mm. And of course, as a young child, you wouldn't question it, would you? You think that your parents, albeit it was your stepfather, knows better.
Now, as an adult, it's sort of hard to believe that I was that brainwashed, but yes, I did 100% believe it. Even when I saw contradictions to what I was being taught, there were a lot of contradictions to what they were teaching me, but I 100% believed it. I don't know why, but yeah.
Of course,
I totally believed it.
Of course you did. And did your mother show any signs of wanting to be Amish before she met your stepfather, or do you think she was brainwashed as well?
No, I don't even know if she knew what the Amish were before she met my stepfather. I mean, I highly doubt it, actually. If she did, it was just in passing. After I was an adult and I looked back at how this whole progression started, you know, how we progressed to be Amish, I uncovered a lot of facts after I left the Amish, and I realized that I think us becoming Amish, starting to live plain, was actually a cover-up, because my stepfather was the one to child molest her. So I think that was his way of separating us from the rest of the world, so you know there wouldn't be any questions.
Yeah.
And it was a great cover, because to the outside world, you know, we look like this, you know, very religious, strict, good Christian family, when in reality it was the opposite.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the progression. As we mentioned in the introduction, it started when you were around six, and your stepfather made you and your sister dress Amish. So what is an Amish dress like?
So at the beginning, we started just like dressing in like long flowered dresses and white veils. And then when I was around 9 or 10, my stepfather ordered real Amish clothes for us to wear. And that was, for the women, it's a plain colored dress, you know, long plain colored dress with an apron. And then there's like a white cap, head covering, you know, like they used to wear. in the 16, 1700s that you wear on your head.
Yeah.
You have to wear black shoes, black socks. And it's the same uniform every day. Just the dress color might change a little bit. You know, maybe one day you wear blue, one day you wear green. Some Amish communities, the apron matches the dress instead of being black. But yeah, it's pretty much a uniform. Everybody looks the same.
Yeah, very plain.
Yes, very plain.
And I read that you and your sister weren't allowed to talk to anyone else. So did they take you out of school then?
We weren't really ever in school. I was in school for maybe a couple weeks here and there. But, you know, I acted so differently that the teachers started asking questions. And, sorry.
That's okay. No worries.
And I was immediately taken out of school because I think the two of my teachers, they could see that I was being abused, I think. So me and my sister were actually homeschooled. But, I mean, we weren't really homeschooled. When I left the Amish, I only had about a second or third grade education. So we were just, like, sporadically homeschooled.
So didn't the teachers do anything if they suspected you were being abused? Didn't they call social services or?
Well, when it comes to child abuse, what I've realized through my own experiences and through experiences that I've been involved with some child abuse cases since I've left helping on them. And I realized that people are very, very slow to act because they're afraid they're wrong. A lot of time. People think, you know, I need hard evidence to prove that I'm right. Or, you know, it might not be true. Nobody wants to believe it's true. So with the one teacher, I think she was probably going to call social services, but she didn't act fast enough. And we lived in travel trailers. So my stepdad pulled me out of the school and we were gone the next day. I don't know how she would have tracked us down, but, yeah, I mean, if you suspect child abuse, you need to report it and follow up on it because, I mean, the children can just disappear
and
you'll never see them again.
Of course. And he did actually, when you were around 11, move you all to a mountain ranch and literally kept you prisoner with a loaded rifle by the door.
Yes. When I was 11, we moved to Northern Washington State, and we moved 6.5 miles outside of a tiny town of 1,000 people. So me and my sister, I mean, people knew that me and my sister were up there on that ranch. We were up there for 8 years. But there was so few people in the town, and those people, I learned afterwards, those people knew that we were being abused, but they didn't know what to do about it. That's what they told me. They said, we knew something was wrong, but we didn't know what to do about it, pretty much. And me and my sister were too afraid to escape because, I mean, I literally thought I would be shot if I tried to escape.
How awful.
So, yeah.
And then, so you lived there for 8 years, and then when you were 19, he moved you again, because you tried to escape, to an Amish community. So you had no hope then, I suppose, because everyone was in the same boat and everyone was trying to keep everybody there.
Yes, I did try to escape. I tried to run down off of the mountain, but it was 6.5 miles, you know, on a dirt road. In Northern Washington, it's full of sagebrush. It's like a, you know, like a waist-high brush, so it's very difficult to, you know, try to run through unless you're taking the road. So I was trying to run away through the sagebrush, and I wasn't getting very far. And my mom and my stepdad picked me up. They took me back to the ranch, and they told me, they said, we're taking you to an Amish community now. They did that because, you know, they were afraid that someday, some night, you know, I might eventually escape. And, you know, I had bruises all over me. So, I mean, they knew if I actually made it to a police station somewhere, they would be in big trouble. So they did take us to an Amish community. And, yeah, the Amish believe you're not allowed to go to the police. You know, there's girls in the same situation there. And I mean, there's no way to get out. It's very difficult to get out.
And is it just for the women? I know that Amish women are supposed to be submissive, but does that mean the men rule the roost in an Amish community?
Yes. As far as sexual abuse, there are a lot of boys among the Amish that are sexually abused, girls and boys. Under the age of 14, it's probably 60-40 for boys and girls. I mean, there are a lot of young boys that are abused. But as far as the power control in the household, the woman is absolutely supposed to do what her husband tells her. And she can get disciplined if she doesn't by the church. So, the women literally work from sun up till sundown. And a lot of times the men don't. But the women among the Amish are like the main people that are always working. And they have to do what they're told.
And I believe as well, as if it all wasn't bad enough, that the so-called bishop also sexually abused you.
Yes, yes. I didn't realize at the time that he was a child molester. I found out later that my entire church knew that he was. And he had actually been disciplined by the church before I came to the Amish community. He had been shunned for 6 weeks for molesting his oldest daughter when she was 4. But among the Amish, once you're disciplined and brought back into the church, no one's allowed to talk about your crime. So therefore, nobody was talking about what he had done. And I didn't know about it. I began to suspect it when he started molesting me. I realized that he was molesting his daughters as well. But there's like this oath of secrecy. Once you're forgiven in the Amish, nobody's allowed to talk about it. And therefore, it's allowed to happen again. And then you're forgiven again. And it's the same thing all over again.
Shocking. Shocking. And of course, he had free access to all his victims then, didn't he, if he was allowed back?
Yes. I mean, among the Amish, the children are not taken out of the home. When sexual abuse is suspected, you are disciplined by the church, the father, whoever's doing the abusing, but the children are not taken out of the situation. You're just disciplined and you promise not to do it again, that you've changed, and nobody cares about the victims. Nobody goes to the victims and asks, are you okay? Do you need help? Is he still doing this to you? Or nothing like that. It's just all about the perpetrator being forgiven and brought back into the church, and the victim stays in that situation. Many girls marry the first person that proposes to them in order to get out of that situation, because they have to remain in the home with the sexual abuser until they're married.
Truly is shocking.
I mean, it's just a terrible situation.
Yeah, it really is. The good news is, though, Misty, that you did manage to escape and ended up going to the police. How did you manage to get away and get to the police?
Well, the bishop, I was living with the bishop. I was the maid for his family. His wife was sickly. She had seizures a lot, and they had 7 children under the age of 12. So I moved in with them. I was like their maid, taking care of the children in the house. And then the bishop sexually assaulted me for 6 months. And I was quiet about it because among the Amish, if you're a young teenage girl and you report a sexual assault, it's almost always blamed on the victim, that she somehow encouraged it. Maybe she pinned her dress too tight, or she was too talkative, she was too friendly. Somehow it will end up being your fault. And I knew that, so I didn't say anything. I just put up with it. And then finally, one morning, it was a pretty vicious attack, and it just dawned on me that I had to do something, because, now I was the person that suspected the children were being sexually abused, and I didn't want to be that person that didn't do anything about it. So that's what finally drove me to the police. There was a lady that lived on our property. She wasn't Amish, but she lived on the property in a shop. And I went to her and asked for help, and she drove me to the police station. So that's how I finally got out and asked for help. But unfortunately, it didn't do any good because, I mean, the police didn't help me.
Did they not do anything? They didn't go up to the Amish community or anything?
So I went in and I reported the assault, and they pretty much told me, they said, it's your word against his. And they kept telling me, they said, we have to be very careful that we don't, you know, trample on their religious right. You know, we don't want to haul in a bishop just on one girl's word. And I told them, I said, I'm pretty sure he's molesting his children. You need to do something. So they sent out an officer, and the officer went to the house. He talked to the bishop. And what I remember is when the officer came out, I was watching from this lady was living in the shop. When the officer came out of the house, he waved goodbye to the bishop and his wife, like they were friends. And I realized that he had been sort of like charmed by the Amish lifestyle, you know, the cute little Amish kids. And they didn't do anything. And then about a month later, I kept calling the detective. By this time, I was leaving the Amish. And I kept calling the detective. And finally, detective said that one of the policemen started to think back about the interview with the bishop. And they noticed that the wife was acting a little bit off. And they started wondering if maybe there was more to, you know, my report than they initially thought. And they were actually going to go out and arrest the bishop. But the bishop took his whole family and he ran across the border into Canada. So they actually escaped. And 11 years later, they came back to the United States and he was finally arrested.
Oh,
and they realized then that he had molested almost all of the children by that time.
Is he now in prison?
So, yes, now he's now in prison.
Good, good. And what about you? Because it must have been difficult. I mean, I know you had to leave your sister and you all of a sudden were in a whole new world. You were only used to living in an Amish community. I mean, it must have been a massive transition for you.
It was. It was very difficult. You know, I didn't transition in, like, you know, overnight. I wasn't just automatically in the new world and, you know, living like everybody else. It took years for me to figure out how to navigate, you know, the outside world. You know, for the first year, I just wore really long skirts and long sleeve blouses and wore my hair in a braid. Because I didn't understand outside fashion. You know, I didn't even know that you had to have identification in order to get around in the outside world. The only identification I'd ever seen was my mom and stepdad's driver's license. And I thought you just had to have those to drive. So, you know, it was very, very mind-boggling for me to figure out how to get identification. I had to get my GED. You know, there was just so much technology I had to learn how to use. You know, I was afraid of the hair dryer even because it makes so much noise. So, yeah, I mean, it took a while to learn it, but you know, even now today, I mean, I'll be in a conversation with somebody, I'll not know half of what they're talking about sometimes.
How long have you been out now?
It's been 14 years.
Wow. And what are you up to? Are you married? Have you got a job?
Yes, I've been married for 12 of those years.
Lovely.
So, yeah, I've been married for 12 years. I just graduated nursing school with a bachelor's degree in nursing.
Well done, you. Brilliant. Brilliant news.
Yeah, thank you.
And I know that
And of course.
Go on, sorry.
Oh, sorry. Oh, no. And then I was just saying that, you know, I wrote a book about my life, and now I'm in negotiations to make either a TV series or a movie.
Wow.
based on my life.
That
yes.
is brilliant. That is so brilliant. And I know that this is this book is to help raise awareness. And I've got four lines of messages for abuse survivors that you say. You are not alone. Your past does not define your future. The abuse you endured was not your fault. And moving forward is possible. You really are an inspiration, Misty. I'll just let everybody know that the book is called Tears of the Silenced, an Amish true crime memoir of childhood sexual abuse, brutal betrayal and ultimate survival by Mr. Griffin, who we're talking to now, and you can buy it from our bookshop at tre.radio. Listen, Misty, do let us know what happens with the film, because I'm dying to watch it, and good luck with the rest of your life. Well done you.
Thank you so much.
It's my absolute pleasure. You take care of yourself.
Okay, thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.